First one right there.
This one's for Mike. And Mike, could you discuss a little bit about the takeoff and landings as far as the distances that the O-1's capable of?
Yeah, I'd be glad to. This aircraft at gross weight, off the ground and over the 50-foot obstacle, in right around 300 to 400 feet. Down and stopped over the same high obstacle in about the same. So this aircraft can literally operate darn near anywhere.
And what's it's got an IL-470 in it, is that right?
Yeah, an old O-470 in it, yes.
Okay.
Okay. Next, any other questions? Oh, we got another one up there.
How many of the O-1s were shot down? Mm-hmm. It looks like at those speeds, anybody with a slingshot could take you out.
How many were shot down?
I saw something not all that long ago through the internet, and I saw somewhere, just Vietnam, you know, Southeast Asia alone, upwards of between 11 and 1,700.
Yeah, I would believe that, yeah.
Yeah, and they only built a little over 3,400 of them.
Yeah, yeah.
What were the loss rates?
I don't honestly know.
But I'll give you this one data point. Of the six guys that I went up with up there in my 6 months with the Ravens, four of us were shot down at least once. Two guys were shot down twice. I do know that two of those guys died. It was a high risk program. There's no doubt about it. And again, I don't have the official numbers, but up there, and of course there were no prisoners. If you went down, that was over. Because again, we weren't supposed to be there, and as it turns out, during the war, we had hundreds of aircraft shot down in Laos writ large, and at the end, when we brought all the POWs back, there were only 9 guys who came out of Laos, and so we just kind of understood that this was high risk. Can I share another war story, Ed?
You bet.
This is in honor of one of my Raven buddies. Guy, my name is Steve Neal. Steve was a Texas guy, built like a fire plug, big, broad linebacker kind of shoulders, and no neck. He didn't have a neck. It just went from chest to chin. Yeah. And Steve was up there as one of our Ravens, and he's out on a mission one day, and he gets a call on the radio. Hey, very bad situation. Need Raven. So he goes over to where these guys are, and he finds the team, and he's got a Hmong in the back seat. And so the backseater's talking to the guy, and he's telling him about how they were going forward, and the same thing, they get ambushed, they need air power right now. Okay, so Steve calls up to our command post in the sky, and they got a couple of F-4s, they divert down to him, and they're going to do their thing out there. And Steve briefs them up and shows them where the friendlies are, and of course the fighters got visual contact with Steve, so he's not going to bump airplanes and everything. And of course, the ground commander's increasingly more urgent because they're in this big fight now. And so Steve says, okay, lead. He says, I'm going to mark the target for you now. So Steve rolls in, and he had a habit of making real steep dives in the O-1. And he fires his rocket, and he pulls up, and he gets right about here. And at that exact moment, God decides that the two bolts holding his seat to the floor in the front are going to release, and they do. And he rotates into the back seat. Now, he's like this in the airplane, right? And, of course, the Hmong in the back seat going, Steve, what you do? And his feet, he's got the windows open. Both of his feet go out the windows, maps, everything's out the windows. And the airplane gets up about here. He's got full power on the airplane. He's got the stick all the way back into his belly. And the predictable happens. He kind of falls off and starts into a spin. That's not good. So Steve does his thing, gets control of the airplane, fights it back under control, gets out of the spin, gets the airplane level. Of course, all the bad guys are shooting at him down below. They thought it was hilarious, probably. I don't know. Anyway, so he gets the airplane under control. Now he's got another problem, because the number one thing about tactical air flying, and you'll all identify with this, is whatever is happening at the moment, you've got to sound cool on the radio. And Steve allowed us at the time, he was a little upset. So he told us later on, he said, I took a little extra time to climb out because it settled the voice. Okay. So finally, he gets back up to altitude. Fighters are watching, waiting, doing their thing. Ground commander screaming his heart out, get this thing in going, let's go. So Steve says, okay, lead, you got the target in sight? Yeah. Said, you're cleared in hot. I'll tell you what, Vac, like to have another mark. Steve says, well, wait a minute. Now he's confused. You just told me that you got the target in sight. He goes, Raven, he says, we got you in sight. We got the friendlies in sight. We got the bad guys in sight. We just want to see that rocket pass again. That's a true story. To Steve Neal, God bless him.
Oh, I love it. All right, we got one up top there. Go ahead.
I guess this is a Raven question. Okay. So did you fly with cameras like the Ka-39s and what about dropping ground sensors, that kind of thing on the Ho Chi Minh?
I never flew the 01 over the Ho Chi Minh Trail. I was in the war further to the north. However, we had the supply roads coming in from North Vietnam to the east of us, places called Ban Ban and Sam Nua. I flew those roads, and I showed you that picture of that. But I never dropped the sensor loads, but I know what you're talking about. But many occasions, same thing. Some guy would walk up to my airplane and, hey, I'm George. Hi, George. How you doing? What do you need? Take this camera here and go out and get some pictures for us. And I said, who's us? He says, I'll meet you when you get back. There was a lot of that kind of stuff up there in the war because a lot of our governmental agencies were involved in that. You know, you had Air America doing their thing. They're on contract to the State Department, so they're up there. We're all working ultimately for the ambassador anyhow. He was our boss, as opposed to whether it was a colonel working for the ambassador who was directly my boss. But we were all working for the ambassador. He was running the war. And all kinds of those things were going on all the time. And so, yeah, I took lots of pictures of lots of things. Whatever happened to them, they're not on my computer.
Yeah, the KA-39s.
Of course, you know who's doing that now.
The KA-39s. We used to carry KA-39s on the right wing, which is a big
Oh,
thing.
Yeah. Oh, like you mean actually mounted on the wings?
Mounted where the rockets are.
Wow,
and
interesting.
The only downside was that you had to fly for 4 hours with full left rudder.
Holy cow. And who are you flying for?
I was flying Cat Killers, 220th reconnaissance airplane.
There you go. God bless you for your service, sir.
Thank you.
Hoorah.
All right. Anybody else? All right. With that, oh, we got one down in front here. Anybody? Bruce can give you a mic. And I see Connie. She's about to give us the hook here, I think.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your
service.
You're
doing great.
And question about the aiming the rockets and their accuracy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we didn't have a gun sight. You know, I flew A-10s later on, and it'd tell you anything you wanted to know, you know. But there it was, I think it was two knuckles up, and you put a little grease pencil mark, and then you would approximate from there. Everybody had their own thing. Steve Neal made his passes at 60 degrees. I made mine at 25 to 30. But again, it was totally situationally dependent. And the idea is not necessarily to hit the target on the ground, but to mark the target on the ground. So you put the mark down. That's your referential discussion point. Lead, okay, you see the river next to that? Okay, cross the river there, huh? And you became very creative in doing that. Now, having said that, there were times when the weather was really bad, maybe 500-600-foot ceiling, and our guys are having trouble with bad guys. We can't get the fighters in to do that kind of stuff. Maybe call some F-111s to do some sky pukes or something like that. But we would take the rails and load them up with high explosive or anti-tank rounds like that and go out and do our own close air support. You know, we did everything we could to try to support. So it's like Nate said, you know, you're all one team over there fighting together, and we would do everything we could to support those teams on the ground because that's why we were there.
But I can add to that, too. I shot a lot of rockets out of the O2. And, yeah, we had they called it a gun sight, but it wasn't very worthwhile. But I learned at a very, very early point that, hey, if that rocket hits and it's still burning when it hits the ground, you don't have to worry about the drop very much, you know? And so, of course, you know, I'm doing this in peacetime, but when I go to the gunnery range, it's like, hey, I'm going to win this thing, no sweat, because, hey, my rockets aren't going to drop. I'm going to sit there and press in as close as I can so that when that rocket hits, I've watched the motor still burning when it hits the ground, you know? And, yeah, it was a shack, you know? And so I won the quarter. So.
Yeah.
Anybody else? Questions?
One more war story.
Go ahead.
One more war story.
All right. That's what you're here for.
Okay. So this is when I was flying OV-10s, right? And, man, I'm going to tell you, when I was flying the OV-10, I was somebody, man, because that was a cool airplane with a cool mission. And I take off one day, and I'm going from NKP over to Da Nang, and I'm flying across the Ho Chi Minh Trail. And I look down on the ground, and here's this truck in the middle of the day. He's driving down the road. I said, I can't allow this, you know? So I got a pot of rockets on there, you know, and I'm going to get this guy. So I roll in, fire a rocket, and get him to stop. And I kind of halfway noticed that he was towing something. No problem, man. So I come around, and I'm setting up, and I'm going to nail this guy, and I'm rolling in, and I'm tracking. And all of a sudden, I discovered what he was carrying. He was towing a 23-millimeter gun, and those shells were going right by me like this. I broke out of there. I didn't take any hits, and he chased me out of the valley, and rightly so, man. Yeah. 23-millimeter is a very dangerous one.
All right, gentlemen, I say thank you. Daryl, thank you for your service.
My pleasure. God bless you all. Thank you very much, folks. Enjoy the air show.
Nate, Jim, Mike, thank you very much. We'll cut it off. And like I said, if you've got questions, you want to walk around the airplanes, please feel free. Thank you very much for being here.
It's a pleasure to be here with you.